So on this show, we understand that Hans and I aren't really enough to get you to listen regularly, and that Lloyd does a good job of getting guests, and that you count on those guests to provide the entertainment and information you need that Hans and I cannot. And knowing that Friday is essentially a holiday here in the state of Utah, the 24th is on a Saturday, so the 23rd will be off, that's Bowler's Day. And we know that you need to get your weekly bowler fix, so Lloyd said, well, let's get him in on Monday so that people can get their weekly bowler fix, so they're not upset on Friday when we're not on the air. So with that, we bring in the great Craig Bowler. Jack Bowler, how are you?
Bowler, how are you?
Scotty Hans, I think it's overload, to be honest. I'm sure they're saying, hell, not again. We just heard from him Friday.
No. You're like a really good cheese or like maybe a cream cheese or sour cream. You can't have enough.
Okay. No. All right. No. Well, I was just thinking, Hans, are you okay with Guns N' Roses coming in on that one? Are you okay
on that one? Yeah. Okay. I'll rock that all day long.
I can't imagine there's somebody out there that does not like old school GNR. I mean, that's as good as it gets right there.
Yeah. It's amazing. Take me down to Paradise City where the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
Hey, Bowler, before we jump into some of this, I want to throw this at you.
Yeah.
What would you rather compete in? And I'll say you could be a high level, whatever, a pitcher on a baseball. But I'm going to go through a couple of things. So you could either compete in a World Series.
Okay.
A Masters.
Okay.
Or a Wimbledon.
Ooh.
Which of those three would you like to not be a fan at? But just be a participant in, because I know you played sports at a high level.
I respect all three of those, but I think I'd like to play left field in a World Series and pick one off the wall and then fire a straight hard ball 97 from left field corner to the plate, no bounce, maybe one bounce, third baseline,
wow,
and catch the guy at the plate.
Oh, that's
so
sweet.
That would be a dream play for me.
That is so sweet. Just a hard turn and throw right down
third base. I'd be on the run, on the run in left field, make the grab up against the wall, and then pivot, and then fire down the third baseline as they decide to, send him home on a tag up and nail him.
I love it.
That's not a bad but even though I'm not like huge golf guy, to be able to walk down the 18 at Augusta with a two-shot lead.
Tap a little bit. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I got to be honest, man. Playing on grass at Wimbledon, that would be trying to handle the speed of the ball coming off the grass and slip-sliding around from one end to the other. Yeah, that's pretty impressive, too. In fact, the first broadcast I did when I got out of college, it was July 4th, and it was the Wimbledon's final, and it was John McEnroe.
Wow.
Won it all. I remember that day very well. But I always said to myself, man, I think I'd probably slip and fall, man. You wear a groove in that grass. By the time that tournament's over, you can see where everybody's just kicked up the dust, I mean, the grass was green, but no longer.
And the girls are pretty.
Take me home, yes.
Did you play a little tennis back in the day?
Or still? A little bit. I liked it. I really did. We didn't really have – I'd say what's crazy is what you're introduced to is what you end up doing, right? So tennis, a guy gave me a racket once, and I just went out, and my brother said, hey, I'm really good at tennis. I said, oh, really? Okay, so the competitor in me, I said, let's go play. Took him three straight.
Busted him up, huh?
Of course he did.
Yeah, he was pissed. I mean, he didn't talk to me for a day or two after that. I said, I thought you were really good, and it was just funny. I just still hound him a little bit about that. But, I think, again, we were just introduced to three things in my high school, and that was running track, playing football, and going baseball. And soccer started kind of coming into play a little bit later, and I never really picked that up, but I'm a real believer what you're introduced to is what you become, either a fan or if you get a chance to play it, you become good at it, right? And I just never had a chance. My sons all had a chance to get introduced to lacrosse and football and track. They all were hurt. It's like, basketball for me, I wanted to play. But I never got a chance to get to that level because, I got to play some sophomore And then I broke my hand, so that kept me out. And then senior year, we started kind of getting into that situation where coaches didn't want us to play. It was all about, I'd rather see you, if you know what I mean, in the weight room. And so that's kind of what's happened, too, in high schools around here. In fact, a lot, you're supposed to be just, instead of a three-sport letterman, now they just want you focused on one thing and one thing only.
Hate that.
Yeah, and a lot of coaches are pushing back on that a little bit, too, because they want to see multi-sport athletes, and they want to see competing in different forms and maybe something that you're not the best player on. You know, how do you handle basketball when you're not the best player as you are on football? How do you handle that? And, and I always thought that was really interesting.
Well, I think, too, you stay in shape almost year-round if you participate. But, you know, in football, you're talking about weights put, you know, weight on you. Depending on what position you're playing, may not be as flexible. I don't know. You know, then they start to bring in aerobics and make sure you keep in shape that way. I mean, a lot of different coaches have different approaches. But I hope to see it kind of switch back to what you just said, Scotty, where they allow high schoolers and, you know, girls to play basketball and go soccer. Guys get a chance to run track. We used to jump the fence and go from a track practice to a baseball game. That's how we did it. And all the coaches were in sync with it. It was great.
So, Bowler, was the Game 5 Milwaukee Bucks win a surprise to you?
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I'd say they won three straight. 1-4 is tough, but they were down 2-0. I really applaud the way that, you know, Antetokounmpo's played, Chris Middleton's played, Holiday's play. I mean, the steal on Booker, and then the lob pass to Giannis in game four, I mean, or game five, excuse me, was incredible play. You know, something about the Bucks now, all of a sudden, you know, we've seen it with other teams. When they start to get the momentum and the confidence, and now you start to throw doubt at Booker and Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton. To get that win in Phoenix was about as big as it gets. I really thought it'd be a seven-gamer, and it still may, but it's so hard to pick a game up on the road, especially the way that the Suns play, Hans. I mean, come on, that mid-range jump shot that Booker and Chris Paul both possess, and Ayton's growth in the center. You know, Crowder, he chips in a three, you know, on occasion, and his, you know, toughness on defense. But I like the way the Bucks are playing right now. Kind of reminds me of the Jazz when they're at the highest of levels, just working, you know, taking what gives them. Look, Giannis is a special talent. Look, Rudy has his thing, and Giannis has his, but his offensive ability too is so impressive. Footwork and the way that he can work the baseline and put one up and in. But that's a good team, man. They're both talented. But I thought the steal in Phoenix was going to be key, and I'd be shocked if the fear of the deer crowd won't be a big factor in Game 6.
So in my growing up years in the NBA, it felt like it was the Lakers, and then it was the Celtics, and then it was the Pistons, and then it was the Bulls, and then the Rockets, and then back to the Bulls. And I mean, and it was just – it felt like when you won one, you were going to win two or three after that. The fact that we're going to have, I believe, four consecutive single winning, you know, NBA championships, and probably five next year. I think that's good, especially when you've got Toronto winning one, when you've got, let's say, Milwaukee or Phoenix wins one. I think that's a good sign for the long-term health of the NBA that any team can win it on any given year as opposed to these dynasties. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a great comment, Scotty. Dynasties were something we were at kind of the, I don't know, when Pat Riley, you know, what did he do? Patent, trademarked the three-peat.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of in the Miami Heat, the Golden State Warriors, and, of course, the Chicago Bulls of old against the Jazz during that run with Michael. I think the networks dictate – we had this conversation last week. The networks dictate a lot of, you know, who you promote and, you know, who they think the fans want to see. And, you know, the ratings have been pretty strong, in fact, up from the bubble. And I get that. They should be. But I think it's good. You know, Bucks haven't won a championship since 71. So 40 years, like the Chiefs, it took 50 to get a Super Bowl win. And so, you know, I think it's good to see teams build. I know they have to put pieces together, but Antetokounmpo was built, and they built around him to hopefully, if they hope to win a championship. And the Jazz have some similarities there, which I think gives always the mid-sized markets hope. You know, I don't know if we're going to see dynasties again for a while, because what you see is everyone still trying to find their way to a title. Durant did, but then he still hops and skips and jumps. Harden the same way. Didn't find it in Houston. Going to try to find it in Brooklyn. Injuries. You never know what's going to happen. And Chris Paul may find out, too, that as well as he played and as healthy as he was, guys, and as good as Booker's grown into an incredible all-star, and how Ayton has developed, you know, sometimes it still doesn't happen. And sometimes the guys that work just a little harder because they were together longer sometimes plays out. And maybe that's the way this will play out against Milwaukee. And they could blow up on their home floor, and then they have to go to Phoenix. But I would think they feel real good about their chances tomorrow night. I think they're a 5-point favorite. Maybe that jumps. I didn't look early this morning, but you know, all those things we're talking about, I think it's good for the league. I think fans actually enjoy it instead of being predictable each year which way it's going to go. It gives you hope. In 82 games, you know, how you're going to play, you may not be the one seed like the Jazz were this year, but at least when you get into the postseason, you have a chance to prove just how good you are. And, Hans, as you know, there's a lot to say about peaking right at the right time. And if the Bucks, after losing two in a row, you know, had some sort of a team meeting, whatever happened behind closed doors, and they found their way back, you have to applaud that, because that's tough to do. You can get down and say, okay, give it a good shot. But to actually roll back from losing two straight and being dominated, by the way, by Phoenix, I thought what the Bucks had done is pretty miraculous.
I felt like they were really shell-shocked, too, when Giannis hyperextended that knee. I think that it took some time to get over the trauma of seeing your entire season flash right before your eyes and feeling like it was over, I'm sure.
Now, Jazz fans know that feeling, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you see Conley walk off after the Memphis, you know, in the fourth quarter of the Memphis game, and then, you know, Donovan's still trying to struggle back. Injuries have played a big factor in this postseason. That's going to be talked about, you know, until we start in October, which isn't too far away. But, you know, I hope there's not an asterisk put here. Look, the country's still dealing with COVID. Look at the Olympics right now. My gosh. You know, it's a scary world. Mm-hmm. But I just applaud both the Lakers in the bubble last year, and if it's the Bucks, I applaud them for being the you know, the survivor at the end under some wild circumstances. You know, a truncated season, but still they play in some great basketball.
So with that said, what Scotty was talking about with kind of the wild, wild west that the NBA is turning into, and how you've emphasized that anything's up for grabs and anything is possible. I'm curious, what should Jazz fans and what should we all expect to see from this new Jazz ownership and Justin Zanuck now calling the shots? What should we expect to see in the draft? I mean, could we see fireworks and some big moves to try to get in position in a pretty deep draft? Could we see fireworks like that?
No, Hans, that's the thing I'm waiting for on the 29th, which is coming rapidly, draft night. Obviously, we know what the Jazz would need. If they do sign Mike Conley, then obviously you have to have someone at a high level in case of injury or second unit to run the show? Or do you still go with the rotations of Joe and Donovan and you share the ball? I don't know what Justin's ideas are. I know he's an aggressive guy. I know he has good relationships, as we spoke, with players and agents, which could come into play in free agency. And then I'm not sure how big a checkbook, you know, Ryan Smith and his ownership group has. How far do they want to go beyond luxury, where they are now in the luxury tax? They have two near-max players, Donovan and Rudy Gobert. And, you know, Mike Conley's coming off a massive contract that he signed with Memphis. And what's his asking price, Hans? I mean, you know, on the open market, if look, he's 34 and he has been injured, but still, Mike Conley is going to demand a pretty good salary. And if the Jazz have already made, you know, some comments, or at least those who are the insiders say they're looking to re-sign Mike, that's one of their top priorities, then I don't think he's coming cheap. But it's still, I tell you, to win a championship, it takes a lot of dough. It takes money, and it takes the three, as they say it, that other player, one more that's going to fit in. So do you trade? Do you find room financially to move another guy in here that's going to be a difference maker without losing too much of your assets? Because this has been a solid team for, what, 2 to 3 years now. But just like what Damian Lillard's talking about, Hans and Scotty, is that, look, what else can you do for me? And what else can we do to really get to the finals and have a shot at it? I don't know. Lillard, you know, he's downplaying the trade talk, but he also put a lot of pressure on Portland to say, hey, look, let's get better. But they don't have any assets really to – they traded away, two or three first-rounders and a bunch of seconds. They don't have a lot of wiggle room to improve. So Lillard may get his – you know, Lillard may be the key to their rebuild. Obviously, he'll command a lot of players and a lot of draft picks if that's the decision they make and he makes with them. And that kind of comes into play with the Jazz. My point is they have to make Donovan happy. And they've got to keep him focused on the fact they're moving towards the ultimate goal of a championship. So, man, I'd say I don't know how you do it unless you spend the money or unless you move assets, but they have to be the right moves. You can't do knee-jerk reactions. And the Jazz have never done that, hands to your question. They've always been kind of predictable during the Miller ownership tenure, but now we will get our first taste of how aggressive Ryan Smith will be. And that's what I'm really anxious to see. And what impact D. Wade has, right? I mean, they set a lot of hours together during the postseason. I'd love to have been able to hear that conversation at times on what D. Wade knows as a champion himself, what it takes just to make that slight push to get to the next level. So I think that's what I'm waiting to see. Because, you know, your question, I think everybody's asking, but I really can't answer it because I don't know Ryan Smith's ways of doing business as an NBA owner. I think he's been obviously successful in a business way, but in a basketball sense, I'm waiting to see just how far he wants to go. He did say he wants to win now, and I think that bodes well for Donovan and him staying here for a long time.
Bowler, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. You're kind enough to join us on a Monday. And
Are you kidding? What else am I going to do, man?
Oh, we know you have lots of things on your
mind. No, too. I'm just sitting
busy
here.
Busy man.
Hey, why don't you just read about the Olympics and, you know, gymnastics and cardboard beds. That's all I was reading about.
Why don't you just get
that?
On down
That's
here, Brandon?
The story I've ever heard.
You could spend the next 4 days with us, Bowler. I mean, if you want to do a 4-hour show with Scotty and I, it'd be the Bowler, Scotty, and Hans show.
Bowler's
just
like,
roll on down. Yeah. I get antsy, as you guys know. I'm excited to get going with Summer League, which is just about 2 weeks out. So we'll see. And by the way, I know you guys got to go, but the Jazz will have two teams and a lot of young talent they're looking at and some that we've already seen. I don't know. I haven't seen the rosters yet. But I'm sure the Brantleys or the Mieonis may be invited to play. I'm not sure, you know, Trent Forrest. I mean, I don't know. So are some of the answers, Hans, you just asked about the Jazz, will we see some of these guys continue to improve, or do the Jazz go outside and bring someone elsewhere? I don't know. I'm really anxious to see how this particular management group works, and that includes Justin Zanuck, who, as you said, pulling the triggers on some potential deals, or who he has his eye on the draft, and also how impactful, you know, Ryan's going to be. It's going to be fun.
Bowler, you're the best, man. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Bowler.
Hey, guys, have a great week.
Peace. You got it. Craig Bowler, Jack, right here on the Zone Sports Network. That's right. Summer League coming up, NBA draft coming up. It's a lot of stuff coming up here in the next few weeks, and free agency beginning on August 1st.
Time's going so fast.
Giddy up, folks. Here we go. Dr. Justin Johnson with us. We are live here at Premier Wave, and we're trying to change your life. And let's be honest here. I mean, this is a part of your life. If you're struggling in the bedroom It's affecting your relationships. It's, you know, affecting, you know, your marriage. What, there's so many aspects that this affects, and it's just not you. It's your, you know, significant other as well. I mean, this is something you got to get addressed.
It is. And the thing is, most of us men, you know, tend to ignore things going on because we're very proud.
Yes.
We ignore the physical changes. And the truth is erectile dysfunction is a slow process. So whether you're at the stage where you have complete dysfunction or like most of us as we get older, some minor dysfunction, you know, it happens to everybody. But we have a process that can restore your normal function. And it's designed to, you know, help you get back to performing in the bedroom. And it happens to everybody. But we're, you know, really, really good at our protocols and our methods and how to treat this.
Let's talk about the process a little bit. You come in here, you sit down with you or another physician as well and find out what's going on, and then you map out a plan specific for them.
Yes, that's correct. You know, you're not just a number to us. We have a whole process where you come in, you meet with our providers. We discuss everything that's possible, not just acoustic wave therapy, but the other methods that are available, and sometimes we'll combine methods. And then we go as far as giving you a home care kit that helps improve the treatment. So we give you, some instructions on things to do after the treatment's done that will help improve the whole process. So we really are very important to us about results. We're very results-oriented.
Well, we appreciate you, Dr. Johnson, for providing so much food for the listeners, too, and just a really fun environment here on this remote. This is a great opportunity for our listeners to come down, say hi, get some catered food. We've got turkey croissants and ham and cheese sliders and fresh, these are homemade Swedish meatballs and homemade eclairs. This is great food. So come in,
yes,
and grab some food, grab some Utah Jazz,
yeah,
gear, and come see us.
Yep, and we're going to do a special for today's listeners. So for the first 10 callers, if you call in, we're going to give you two additional treatments at no extra cost.
Whoa.
Two additional treatments, which you use for various things. So
$800
value.
That's $800 in your back pocket right there. 385-360-WAVE. That's 385-360-9283. Call right now. You can also stop by and get more information, grab the food, and grab the jazz gear as well. 2505 East, 3300 South. Again, 2505 East, 3300 South. Tell you what, those two free treatments as well. So let's make it happen. 385-360-WAVE right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
I never thought Notre Dame would ever play the home game it owes BYU.
Be a reason.
They're Notre Dame. They don't really have to.
Well, why'd they sign the contract in the first place? They're supposed to hold up your end of the deal. One time I went to Ocean City with a bunch of my friends. A bunch of people were walking by. And we got to change into our beach gear. And so a couple of the guys were holding towels up. All of a sudden, one of them dropped the towel. You're not holding up your end of the deal here. We held up the towel for you. Now Notre Dame is dropping the towel. And there BYU sits naked as can be.
Oh, that was a long way to go to get there.
Well, I can admit that was pretty lame.
Way to go.
But the point is, Notre Dame should live up to that deal.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
360!
It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone. And the Zone Sports Network.
.97.5/1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It's time for a little thing we like to call Sports Roulette. We take some of the storylines we've not had a chance to get to, we put it on a nice little roulette wheel. Spin it, and wherever that little ball lands is what we end up talking about. It's all brought to you by Davis Vision. Time to get that LASIK done. You can get $1,000 off LASIK right now. All you have to do is call 801-253-3080. That's 801-253-3080. You can check them out online at davisvisionmd.com. All right, let's get to it. Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
It's now time for Watching the Watch List with Hans Olsen and Scott Girard.
Would
you like to start?
You know, even though I'm pretty sure I knew it was coming, it doesn't make it any better. It's now time for an opportunity to talk about every single of the 10,000 players that are playing college football this year that have all been nominated to some kind of a watch list.
Scotty, you could
just
say
absolutely nothing.
It's now just time to talk some college football.
Let's talk some real college.
So,
if you have a pulse and you play football, you'll be on a watch list.
That isn't true. Okay, so the Maxwell Award is a very tough one to get named to. They only name
the watch list.
Yeah, they only name 80. Why are you laughing?
80 players
out of
But that gets whittled down to like 60 by August.
And they're and that's a position group too, right? Was it quarterbacks and wide receivers or what is that? What's on the who's on
I
the
I think
Maxwell?
It's offensive because Tyler Allgeier is on there. So the BYU running back is on, and Charlie Brewer's on there. So both Tyler Allgeier and Charlie Brewer were – I'm sorry. I don't know the Maxwell. I think – is it the offensive, best offensive player? Best non-O-lineman maybe?
Yeah, like everybody but the O-line gets an opportunity to be on the Maxwell.
Presented annually to the outstanding player in college football.
So typical. Oh, the Maxwell is just the outstanding player,
yes.
Offensive and defensive.
Yes.
Wasn't that the Heisman?
You would think that that would be the Heisman. Wait, so what's better?
Like, didn't Alex Smith win the Maxwell Award? Because he didn't win the Heisman.
Oh, I think you're right, Lloyd. I think he did. But you got Charlie Brewer and Tyler Allgeier named to the Maxwell Award watch list. Two of only 80 players in the country selected to this very prestigious award.
Yes.
Devin Lloyd was named to the Bednarik Award watch list, which I believe is awarded to the best linebacker.
You got to also include our guy Justin Rice up at Utah State.
Justin Rice was involved?
Yes.
Okay, so Justin Rice has been named to the Bednarik Award watch list. Is that for linebacker or is that defensive?
Hell if I know. Why are you asking me? These are your lists.
It's outstanding defensive player in college football.
I don't give a crap about this stuff.
Whoa.
No, stop. Did you almost? No. I was just joking.
You almost slipped again? We just got over the one from last week. Just got done paying that fine. So, Lloyd, the Bednarik is for the best defensive player.
Outstanding defensive player in college football, yes.
Not best, but outstanding.
Most outstanding.
Yeah, the most outstanding.
So
how does one –
Devin Lloyd.
Like, what goes into being outstanding if it's not the best?
I would imagine that that has to include off-field, maybe scholastic duties potentially. Oh,
yeah, I'm sure these lists are very concerned about scholastics.
The only one that I think is concerned about scholastics is academic All-American, correct?
Correct.
Which, if I'm not mistaken – all three of my uncles, I think, were academic All-Americans. I don't know. I know Oren's picture's everywhere at BYU because he was like one of only 8 or 9 in the history of BYU to be a academic All-American something or other.
Did you feel any pressure there?
Yeah. I feel pressure every time I go anywhere. It's like, I can't even go. Like going into Utah State, anywhere in Utah State, it's like, this shoe was worn by Merlin. This helmet was worn by Phil. I go to BYU. This math grade was accomplished by Oren.
Oren. it seems like at least 60 to 70% of the remotes we go on, somebody goes up like, I knew your Uncle Phil. What a tremendous man he was.
I know. It is crazy.
All the time.
It is crazy. How many people grew up with my dad? Half the time I call him like, hey, Dad, so-and-so came by. Oh, like so-and-so. He said that you guys went to school together. I don't know who that is. Yeah, whatever. Yes, you do.
All right. There you go. I'm sure that's one of about the next 20 sports roulettes that's going to have a watching the watch list coming up here.
We will have a run on them because –
it kind of felt like they all got kicked off today, yeah. And when somebody tweeted out, hey, it's watch list season, that's great. Looking forward to it.
Or no. for you.
All right. Lloyd, spin that wheel.
Stay cool, America.
So did you see these coats that – is it Ralph Lauren or just Ralph Lauren?
I think it's just Ralph Lauren.
Okay. Have you seen these coats that he designed for our Olympic team? They actually have air conditioners in them.
Ooh. Tell me more.
Because it's supposed to be like 90-some-odd degrees.
Or how about this? Just don't wear coats.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It is the Summer Olympics.
I mean, Ralph Lauren, just make a nice little polo for him and we'll call it good.
Wait a second. I might be getting punked by a story right now. A fight. A playground fight. Am I being punked?
I don't know, but I feel bad for these guys having to.
Jackets with AC.
Well, listen, it says Team USA flag bearers will wear special coats designed with cooling systems at the Olympics and Paralympics opening ceremonies. Ralph Lauren, or as his friends call him, Ralph.
Ralph.
Unveiled.
You're thinking Sophie Lauren. Yes.
Sophia Lauren.
Yes. Oh,
that's right. Okay. Unveiled the parade uniforms last week, including a white denim jacket that will include wearable cooling technology. The technology is a self-regulating temperature cooling device integrated into the jacket and will disperse heat and will bring in cool air to cool down the body temperature.
I believe what happens is you actually just zip off the arms.
But then... New technology to turn a hot jacket into a cooler vest by unzipping the sleeves. No, Scotty, to your point, like, wouldn't it just be more rational just not to wear a coat?
Yeah.
We are building a coat for midsummer that is going to cool your body temperature, or you can just not wear a coat.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
You sure this wasn't from The Onion or something?
This is like the lead story on ESPN. Like, if you pull up ESPN right now, it's like the lead story. I feel like I got pulled into something here. Yeah, so they're all going to be wearing coats that have AC in them, which I'm sure the rest of the world is going to be looking at Team US like, what's wrong with these guys? What climate are they coming from?
Yeah.
And then when they find out that they're AC coats, they're going to be like, oh, man, that's so America. Instead of just not wearing hot clothes, they have to wear hot clothes with AC in it.
With AC in it.
Wait, are you sure? I'm not seeing this story. What are you talking about?
Man, I might be getting pumped.
I think you are. Oh, you went to EPSN.
No, I did not. It's right there. It's the cold open. U.S. flag bearers.
Nope, he's right. It's right there.
That's a real story.
How far did you have to go down to find that story?
No, it's on the
front.
Right there.
It's right top
the
fold front. On the right side. White denim jacket. Okay, people wear denim jackets still?
I have not seen.
Did you have a denim jacket back in the day?
Well, see, I still think that a woman in a denim jacket is very attractive. I think that's a gorgeous look on a woman. I like when my wife wears denim.
Yeah, like an old Canadian tuxedo.
For a man, it's like, hey.
Leroy, knock it off.
What you got going on?
Billy Bob, no.
Like, we haven't seen a denim jacket since George Michaels in Wham. It's been a long time.
That's a sign you should not wear one.
He was cool, though.
Yeah, 1987, but not today.
Did you want to be him when you were younger?
George Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Not really, no.
Man, I did. Big time.
Yeah. All
right. Okay, so when you think denim, who do you think of? Because George Michaels comes to my mind. He had those nice denim jeans with the cowboy boots in that music video phase.
Man, I can't even remember anybody wearing one. Like, I remember, like, I'm wearing one, but I don't remember, like, a famous person.
John,
that's iconic.
John Dutton on Yellowstone, doesn't he wear all denim? No, he's Carhartt, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't watch Yellowstone.
It's closer to Carhartt.
Yeah.
Now, Carhartt's, that's good stuff right
that's
there.
That's a quality brand right there.
You're wearing a Levi denim jacket, then you got a problem.
Well, it seems kind of to be a strange deal. Let's put on coats and then put AC in coats.
Looking forward to getting an update on that a little later on.
We don't nobody cares about that, Ajay.
The cooling feasibility of these jackets.
Glad I got an AC coat down here, Scotty. Nobody cares about that, Ajay.
Oh, I still feel bad about that. That came up at the old little barbecue this weekend.
Did it?
It's like, oh.
How does he feel about that?
I don't think he took that very well.
As he should not.
That wasn't one of my finer moments.
You were ornery that day. The C's and Scotty were ornery that day.
Oh, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we continue on getting you ready for the start of the college football season. Also, we'll announce another selection in our top 60 in 60. It's a busy show, and we'll even recap the British Open with Bob Casper at 105. It's all right here on The Zone Sports Network.
You wonder if the wind is starting to kick in a little bit. Ajay, if you're down on the field, do we have much of a wind at all down there on the field?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of getting cold over here. I'm kind of glad I wore a long sleeve on this field.
Nobody cares about that, Ajay. We want to know about the wind.
This is DJ and PK.
And to think that as far as Joe, I'm largely responsible. I may not win any awards, Dave, but it gives me a sense of great pride knowing, yeah, I don't feed the naked, but in a sense, I've helped facilitate a connection. So I can feel good about it, you know, a little bit. Not quite like you, but I think I can feel good about it.
You're not feeding the hungry, but you are entertaining the bored. So there's that. There's somebody stuck in traffic, stressed, the weather's bad, you know.
So what do?
You entertain the bored.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone. We'll chat with Bob Casper coming up here in about 10 minutes. Recap the British Open.
I can't get over how stupid coats with AC is.
Yeah, it seems like a complete waste and is stupid.
I feel so stupid for bringing the story up. Like here I am thinking, oh, man, this is such like back to the future technology.
Yeah, the drying system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The self-drying system. And remember, it would fit to the arms and I'm like, wow, ACs, coats in with ACs. This is incredible. It's just dumb. What a waste. Do better, Ralph.
Spent millions of dollars in research and development.
How to make coats cooler.
It's like that story. I don't even know if it's true, but everybody talks about how like NASA spent millions of dollars to devise a pen that would work in space. And the Russians used a pencil.
Yeah, that's exactly this.
Meanwhile, everybody's all just sitting there with a polo shirt and Team USA sweating.
My AC's broke. What should I do? Just take the coat off.
Just take the coat off. Oh, okay.
It is sad, though, seeing everything that's going on with this Olympics, man. I know that Japan tried to put it off. They tried to take a year off and tried to push this thing back, and they've done everything they can to promote it. Is this going to be one of those things, Scotty, that when we get to the events, the opening ceremony's slated for this Friday, correct?
Coming up, yeah.
Do you think this is one of those things that when we get to the events and we finally get to the Olympics and they're going, that all of this storyline stops? Because this has happened.
This seems like, you know, whenever a sport starts, especially last year during COVID, the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA a little bit this year, this past season, when you get going and you got some positives and there's big storylines and, oh, they're going to have to shut it all down. And then it just kind of figures itself out and everything goes away.
It seems to, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's been the MO as of late.
Like, I wonder if the NFL – as a group really realizes that there was a pandemic at last year,
yeah,
when they were just rolling on,
they just
through.
Trucked right through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We'll test these guys. Kind of come in and get your swab. And they just put it on the outside of the nose and, oh no, you tested positive for salt, but no COVID.
Everything's good. Carry on.
I don't know, man. I just think
you think there were some shenanigans going on.
There's a way to test to not get a positive. Yeah. And I do wonder if the NFL is just like, oh, yeah, we'll test them every single day. We'll take their temperatures. Those temperature gauges weren't accurate. How many times do we get our temperature gauges? And you walk in and it's like 94. Boy, you're on the cool side, but yeah, go have a good day. You know, it's like, I don't know. I think there's just ways that to get around it. And all those storylines fell flat. The NFL, we didn't even see a game canceled.
No. A lot of movement and a team that was forced to play with no quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. That was a weird. Which team was it?
Yeah. I can't remember.
If you could have had Tebow for just one game.
No, still wouldn't have
You
taken,
still wouldn't have taken no. Tebow? You still want that wide receiver that was a backup?
Because he had the same completion percentage as Tebow.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. Come on. Tebow would have been way better.
He was 0 of 7, wasn't he? Or 1 of 7?
And?
Yeah, Tebow was better than that. Tebow never went 0-7. 0-7. But I'm hoping that when we get to the Olympics,
things calm down.
Yeah, but they've got so many protesters in Tokyo. And I don't know if you've seen the images, but the protesters are really starting to surround some of the villages. And
which seems a little counterproductive because nothing's going to change. Like, the Olympics are still going to go on. And I would think if you're concerned about COVID, the last thing you would want to do is come together for a mass protest.
Yeah. Seems like it'd be very counterproductive.
Yes. Like, we're concerned about you spreading COVID. What are we going to do? We're going to bring thousands of people outside the gates, smashed together, protesting.
In an environment that's only 19% vaccinated. The other thing, the thing that I could see making continuing storylines and turning this thing on its head is if we continue to see sponsors pull their advertising dollars.
I agree with that.
Toyota pulling their entire advertising package from the Olympics. It's a huge statement. A lot of money.
All right, Justin Johnson's hanging out with us, doctor here at Premier Wave. And I want to go back a little bit. I know we talked about this earlier, but one of the things that I think was really fun to get to know is how you spent time at Duke trying to really move this kind of technology along.
Yeah, my research emphasis was on medical devices and lasers. So I spent a lot of time doing research on rabbits and rats to try to get the protocols down for humans. So it's interesting.
And so now with this new technology, the great thing is some of the other, you know, the pill or some of the other techniques in the past was just kind of a Band-Aid to try to just get you through some of these issues. Here, you're actually addressing the root cause of the problem.
Right. So the pill does not address the root cause, and the root cause is loss of blood vessels. And so this treatment, a lot of the treatments we provide, restores the new blood vessels. So it essentially grows new blood vessels. And you need those blood vessels to have blood flow, obviously, to get an erection. So it's great stuff where you can actually reverse or even correct completely the aging process.
And the earlier you catch it, because I'm sure there's some guy maybe in his late 40s, early 50s, maybe even, you know, younger, way younger than that. And it's like, you know, it's not quite the same, but it's fine. I'll be okay. And everything seems to be okay. Well, you shouldn't be settling for okay. Let's get you back to where you need to be.
Exactly. You know, this is a preventative thing. So you can come in and actually prevent yourself from getting erectile dysfunction in the first place. And if you have just very mild dysfunction, it can restore completely the normal function, you know. So there's no reason to live with this at any age. We have the technology and multiple different methods. So if one method is not right for you, maybe another one is, or a combination of methods. You know, we offer complete erectile dysfunction solutions here. We consider ourselves the sexual health experts because we have a great trained staff. So come in and see us. You know, there's no reason to live with this. You can prevent it.
And it's customizable too. It's not like one size fits all. You know, you're just going to turn and burn through patients. It's like, let's sit down, let's see what your needs are, and let's go from there.
Right. Just as we all have different sizes.
Yeah.
The treatments also have different things for different people. So, and we're offering a special for the next 10 callers. If they call in, they'll get two extra treatments with no extra cost. So come on in. There's no reason to delay. And come see us because we have solutions for your needs.
385-360-WAVE. That's 385-360-9283. You can also stop by. We got a lot of jazz gear. We've got some food catered in. 2505 East, 3300 South. Again, 2505 East, 3300 South. Let's go. Let's get you back on track right here on the Zone Sports Network.